All right, so before we get to all of your stories, I actually want to share a story tonight. Thank you. Hold your applause. Okay, so here's the thing I've kept from Nerdalogs forever. I mean, the guys in the group know it, but not all of you guys know it. I am obsessed with Transformers. Like, that is by far the nerdiest thing about me that I keep hidden. Thank you. And I have been writing Transformers fan fiction since I was literally like 5 or 6 years old. Like, I remember in like kindergarten, and there often are crossovers. Like, I wrote GoBots Meet Transformers, which is kind of redundant, you know. I wrote Transformers versus Magneto in like sixth grade, because of course that had to happen. Like, it makes perfect fucking sense, right? I mean, come on. I also, like, I mean, 80s cartoons are my bag. I remember in like freshman year of high school, I was convinced that I had the pitch that would bring He-Man back to television, and I like sent a treatment to like Mattel, like, listen, this is what you need to do to make Masters of the Universe cool again. It didn't work, but they did not get back to me. Yeah, you know, but that's okay. So here's a few things about me besides that. There's a few of my friends have been trying to convince me for a long time, hey, and one of them is here, Jeremy Connie, hey, you should write comic books. And now, that in a way that doesn't make sense, because I'm not really qualified, because I'm not working to do that. But there's certainly people less qualified than me. I'm a published critic of them. I certainly read enough of them. So that's thing one. Thing two is I have had one specific Transformers story in my head for a long, long time. Like, since I was in seventh grade, and I saw the episode, it was the series finale of the original Generation 1 cartoon. It was called Rebirth. And for literally, like, yeah. So for literally 10 seconds, it features a character named Punch Counterpunch. And I have a visual aid. So this guy, this is Punch Counterpunch. And so his deal is that he has two robot modes, because he can be, and I'm not doing this the full way, but he can be an Autobot, or if you flip him around, he can be a Decepticon. And his name is Punch Counterpunch. So, like, the Autobots call him Punch, the Decepticons call him Counterpunch. How did no one figure this out? Why is he only in 10 seconds of Transformers media anywhere, right? Okay, here's thing three. Last year, because of my job writing for SparkNotes, I went out to Comic-Con and I met the editor of the Transformers comics. And I have his email address, I have his phone number, and he follows me on Twitter. And so, with enough people like Jeremy telling me that I should do something, I did. So, because of the theme of this month's Your Stories, I decided to email Mr. John Barber about a week ago. I sent him my pitch. So there's a series of Transformers comics called Transformers Spotlight. It's one-shots that detail the biographies of lesser-known characters. I thought, well, this is perfect for my Punch-Counterpunch story. Like, obviously, right? How could it not be? So I sent John Barber, who is the editor of all the Transformers comics, I sent him my pitch, which I'm going to read to you. Here's my pitch. Bear with me, this gets a little deep, and I'll explain things as we go if I need to. So it says, in the multi-millennial war for Cybertron, Punch Counterpunch was engineered to be the perfect spy. As a robot with both Autobot and Decepticon alt modes, he can blend in seamlessly with either army and gather intelligence undetected. But Punch Counterpunch has a problem. He can no longer remember what side he's on. As this story opens in the present day relative to other Transformers comics, Punch Counterpunch sits alone on a barren world, an outlier in the Autobot-Decepticon war that, like so many others, has been ravaged by fighting. And a full-page splash split down the middle, cleaving his head and his internal monologue into Autobot and Decepticon halves, Punch Counterpunch wonders how he became the last survivor of a battle where, really, he should have been one of the first to go. How did no one suspect his game? How did someone with such a dangerous function outlast all his peers? The meat of the issue will be told as two concurrent but competing flashbacks, one in which Punch Counterpunch receives a mission from Optimus Prime, the other where he takes his orders from Megatron. He's playing both sides of the conflict on this world, constantly afraid of discovery, learning the other's secrets, but we're never really sure to what end. All but the first and last page of the issue will therefore be laid next to a complimentary page told from the point of view of the other faction. So, for instance, on page 2, Punch gets briefed from Optimus, but on page 3, Counterpunch receives similar instructions from Megatron. The twin plot lines of the issue will eventually converge and almost loop back on each other as Punch Counterpunch infiltrates the enemy's unit, and the action climaxes when Punch and Counterpunch somehow come face-to-face in the midst of a decisive battle. This will cause unbearable neural feedback for Punch Counterpunch and will jar him awake to the present day on the final page, where we learn that this has all been a twisted experiment at the hands of Bludgeon, a Decepticon scientist, who holds Punch Counterpunch stasis-locked body in captivity. For some reason, Bludgeon's trying to find out if a single spark can support two distinct personalities. We're not sure why, but by the end of the issue, suggests that maybe we haven't seen the last of Punch Counterpunch or of Bludgeon's plans. That was my pitch. Now, hold on. A day later, John Barber wrote back to me. And here's what he says. Okay. He says, thanks for this. The big hang-up with this particular story is that we actually have a Punch-Counterpunch story in the bag that predates me being here. We'd briefly announced it, then it got held back as Big Event reshaped the Transformers world, and just as we were about to use it again, something else got in the way. Some of the hardcore fans have never let us forget we talked about it in the past, and they ask about it every year. So it's really likely we'll use that story down the road, tweak to fit with the current paradigm. The other big hang-up is that the spotlights were a limited duration thing, at least for now, with an odd but specific set of characters locked in. Not to say we won't revisit, but our publishing schedule is crazy filled up at this moment. All that said, I think the actual story you came up with is pretty solid. I can't quite figure out how he comes face-to-face with himself. That was my biggest question I had left over, but the idea is pretty interesting. Maybe something else will open up down the road sometime. Thanks a lot for the time you put into this. So, part of me is like, I wonder if this is the professional version of a girl being like, oh, I'm so busy this week. But also, he could have not responded. He could have said simply, we don't take submissions this way. You know what I mean? So I feel like that wasn't the worst response I could have gotten. So, in the meantime, I'm going to keep writing Nerdalog sketches that fulfill my fanfiction needs. But maybe in a year or two, you will see a Punch Counterpunch story on the stands with my name on it. Or something else. Who knows? We're still Twitter bros. So, that's my